All right, welcome back to another episode of Whiteboard Weekly. The usual, Carl Eagleman, Jason Ackerman here, talking all about one very specific cue from one very awesome drawing from Carl Eagleman. But before we get to that cue today, Carl, we've had quite a fun week, fun weekend behind us because we launched our all-new Patreon account.
Jason, I'm telling you, this is such a massive step forward for Whiteboard Daily. When I first started it, really kind of getting after about 2 years ago, part of me wants to say like I never saw like this developing the way it has, but also I felt like, man, this is something good and useful and valuable to other coaches, so hopefully it grows. And to see where we are right now is such an honor, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of this. We launched our Patreon and the response has been fantastic. I'm just so, again, thankful for all the supporters out there that see so much value in Whiteboard Daily that they want to kind of go above and beyond and be a Patreon and commit to the different tiers that we have available. So yeah, I mean, it's been big time awesome.
Yeah, we've got three amazing tiers, you know, from our L1, L2, and L3. L1, super basic. We appreciate your support, but you get to see all of Carl's drawings early. You get to see some images that don't make it to Instagram, and you get to see one image every month that is specific. It's unique to the Patreon members, and those are going to be really special. We're going to dive into those and provide something really awesome for those patrons. I think it's patrons if they're supporting, and it's Patreon. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes more sense.
And then the level two, we're going to provide some coaching cues for myself for each drawing that you put out there and a few other really awesome things. And then I think the coolest thing we're doing for those L3 is you're actually drawing like a real drawing, not like a picture of a drawing, like a drawing on paper, signing it and sending it to those supporters.
Yeah, that's a big part of all this that really makes me excited is being able to have more of a personal interaction with the people who love Whiteboard Daily. I remember the very first poster run that I did was the snatch sequence. And just to get people kind of hyped about it, I just did a run of 100 and I marked everyone was like 1 out of 100, 2 out of 100, 3 out of 100 and so forth. And then I signed my name just to say thank you. And it's such a weird feeling because it's like, it's not about myself, but it's like a way that I can just like put a personal touch on there to say thank you for being a part of what we've got growing here. And that's why it even gives me goosebumps just talking about it right now, because that personal interaction is so important. I just feed off that. I feed off of other people's energy, but also I learn so much from other people. So a way that we can kind of integrate some kind of personal interaction through all this really makes it special. So yeah, I'm very excited.
Do your hands ever get tired?
No, only from talking, like because I use my hands when I'm talking. But no, they don't. I will say this, and you and I, we kind of talked about this earlier this week. There may be a time when Whiteboard Daily goes to some kind of software via iPad and not a stencil.
Yeah, but like basically computer graphics or something where you're still drawing, but maybe not on a whiteboard.
Yeah, because I've gotten to the point now where I just love creating content. But if you can imagine this, every single time I draw something, I take a picture of it and then erase it. And so like once it's gone, it's pretty much gone. And so I got to make sure that I document everything. But I would love to be able to have the capability of drawing something and then coming back to it and trying something new or whatever. So maybe in the future, maybe in the near future, there may be some kind of change up with the way that content is provided, but I promise it will still be Whiteboard Daily with who is the one drawing it. So, yeah.
You know, and that's really cool. I mean, you know, I'm privileged and honored to be a part of the Whiteboard Daily team with you. And I think listeners and supporters need to understand how important it is for you to maintain the culture of Whiteboard Daily. And culture to me is always so important. You know, having been a part of CrossFit for so long, owning my affiliates, you realize, man, you know, you can fake business savvy, you can You could do a lot of things, but the culture of the business and, you know, you doing the drawing is really the foundation of this company. And you know, speaking of that, I think it's really important to note, you know, talking about Patreon again, you do a lot of stuff that either, you know, gets erased, doesn't make it to Instagram. You know, we talked about a queue. I don't want to give it away right now because it's going to make its way to Patreon in the future. But you're like, man, I've tried to draw that a handful of times and I just can't get it. Well, that's the kind of behind the scenes stuff you're going to get. And not to mention, support Carl. I mean, he's just putting this stuff out there. You know, for the last 2 years, you've just been pumping out this stuff and, you know, being behind the scenes now, I see the DMs, I see the emails of how much you're truly helping, inspiring, and developing the next generation of coaches. I guess my question to you is, when you truly came up with this idea of Whiteboard Daily, and you said, all right, I'm going to put a queue out there, what was your goal? What did you think 2 years? I mean, we talked on your 2 year anniversary a couple of weeks ago, and we were like, oh, wow, this is crazy. It's the 2 year anniversary. But if you really had to, you know, go back to Carl Eagleman of 2018, other than warning yourself about the pandemic and telling yourself to stock up on toilet paper, you know, what would you have said as your goal in 2 years? Where do you think you would have been?
That's a very good question. And to be honest, the first two things that come to mind was, like, number one was to share some valuable information with other people. Like, being a coach, you want to help out other coaches. You want to pay it forward. And if there's something that you use, some term, some jargon, some cue, if you think that somebody else could benefit from it, you put it out there and you share it. So that was, like, goal number one. Goal number two was, it was to document the stuff that's in my brain. And I really wanted, like, an outlet. I wanted to exhaust every single thing in my brain that had to do with coaching. And I wanted to squeeze everything out and basically have it be on this feed for other people. And I always wondered, like, okay, what am I going to do when I can't come up with anything else? Well, I guess that's the goal, is, like, to go until I have nothing else to share. And the thing is that the more you learn, the more you share, and the more creative you are, the more creative you become. And so it's become this giant snowball that continues to grow and hopefully become a valuable platform for other coaches. That's been the goal that it's developed into so far.
Well, you're definitely becoming valuable to other coaches. I think I was telling you, I worked a level two the other weekend, and, you know, this is something we have in the works for Whiteboard Daily right now, a little bit of a workbook. I don't want to get too far ahead, and, you know, they're going to find out about it in the near future. But everyone in my group was like, you should have that dude from Whiteboard Daily draw that. And I was like, oh, man. You have no idea what's coming.
You have no idea. Yeah.
So it's really awesome to see. And I think, you know, especially in this day and age, there's so much out there. But I would say the cream rises to the top. You know, you care, you do it well, you do it for the right reasons. But B, you know, and the reason I was so excited to team up with you is I really chase after people with that abundance mentality. And that's who you are. I mean, go on Whiteboard, you know, Daily's Instagram, and Carl is sharing drawings of everybody else who are, you know, this won't come off right, but I mean, they're basically, you know, ripping off the Whiteboard Daily kind of idea. And you're like, I don't care. Like, no. And I mean, A, that shows the confidence in your ability, and B, like, hey, why isn't there room for a second person to draw pictures? Or why isn't there room for someone to take the pictures and translate them to Portuguese, like we spoke about last week? So I think, you know, when you live with that mentality of there's enough for everybody, you're going to be successful.
Yeah. And it's the thing that we talk about all the time, right? About high tide lifts all boats. So together, let's keep on rising those tides. And that's something that I've always tried to really hold on to, just knowing that just doing something for the good of the community, that's how this has been established. And I think that's why people enjoy just following Whiteboard Daily.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Carl, you ready to dive into today's topic?
I do. Hey, I also want to say thanks for saying all those nice things about me, Jason. You're so kind.
Well, I make them up.
I know you do.
No, for those that don't know me, I've known Carl for a little while, and I just threw some ideas at him, and he was either naive enough or smart enough to let me come on board. And, you know, it's I'm just excited. And, you know, I've made a really strong decision in my life to only team up and only do things that I'm passionate about with people that I care about and people that are going to force me to become better, a better human being. And you are one of them, Carl. So
yeah.
I appreciate you as well. All right, guys, we're going in the Wayback Machine. We're going back to February 8th, 2019. So I'll give you a second to cue it up. February 8th, 2019. And the cue is whole foot, whole time. And I'm gonna read it. So this is a hashtag FBF, which I assume means you had posted this in the past, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, that's correct.
So whole foot, whole time. Thanks to Will Fleming for providing the cue and caption today. In weightlifting, from the instant of liftoff until right before the hips and knees extend to finish the second pull, you should aim to keep the whole foot balanced on the platform. Whole foot balance will enable the athlete to keep the bar in the right positions, close to the body, and the torso over the bar. To achieve whole foot balance, think of a tripod foot with equal pressure on three points, one behind the big toe, one behind the small toe, and one in front of the heel. I hope you find this valuable. So first thing that stands out to me, Carl, is you never have spelling errors.
That hasn't always been the case. I do double check and triple check my captions. There've been a couple of times when I have an error, but what I try to do is take an explanation and whittle it down, pare it down, trim it down to the most valuable words. And then that's what I put on there. Instagram is this, as we all know, is like the attention span of somebody scrolling through Instagram is minute of all social platforms, perhaps next to Twitter. I'm sure Twitter is a little bit more or less attention span, but you want to provide as much valuable content in a short amount of time as possible. So I try to get around of all the words and just put the important stuff on there. So yeah.
I would say your drawing is a cue, and then your words are a cue, because a good cue is short, specific, and actionable. And obviously you're diving a little deeper into it. You're providing a little more information, but yeah, I mean, rather than being super wordy, no different than when you're coaching, you got to, get to the point.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You don't want, it's kind of funny because I feel like you, well, I feel like, I was going to say you and I feel like definitely I, on our podcast, we're talking all the time, but I guess that's the whole point of a podcast. It'd be pretty boring if we weren't talking. But when you're coaching, and it goes back to what I've learned from Chuck Carswell, you deliver the same message, but with less words. You try to whittle things down and be just specific. Like no one, I'm sure you've seen it before too, where you might be in class and the coach may be teaching class and they're talking to another coach and they're describing how to move. And they go on into this long novel about like, this is why we want to do this. And this is, and then tomorrow we're going to go to the grocery store, and they just go on and on. And you're like, no, man, just get to the good parts so the person can move. And they might be like down in a ready position waiting for the coach to stop talking so they can actually move. You know, that's what they came here for, is to move. So let them move, talk less, and let your actions do the talking.
Yeah, and that's really a huge concept in coaching. You know, talk less, move more. You have to remember, for a lot of people, I'd say 99% of the people at a CrossFit affiliate, that's the 1 hour a day that they're moving. Yep. They're sitting at a desk from 9 to 5, you know, they're taking care of their families. You talking, whether it's at the whiteboard or explaining things, it's like, let them move. They should be moving for the majority of that hour. And, you know, whether it's at the whiteboard brief or in between, you know, teaching and coaching, get your athletes moving.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Tell me a little bit.
Real quick too, like I think that's another reason why I created Whiteboard Daily, is because I know how busy coaches are. And if I can provide something for them to be like, hey, look at this. This is what I'm talking about. And then move on with the rest of their day. Like, so they don't have to come up with so much content themselves or drawing out things themselves, or they can just take a picture of mine and show it to somebody else. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's, I wanted it to be a tool in that sense. So people, it was easier for coaches to explain movement.
Yeah, then that's what it should be. I can, you know, hey, this, see this picture of whole foot, whole time? That's what I was trying to tell you, Alice. You know, you're on your toes. I want you to feel this tripod. And that's exactly what this is, a tool for that. Tell me a little bit more about this Will Fleming character, because you mention him a lot. I know you've got some great programs with him, but How did you meet Will, and what's his backstory?
Yeah, sure. So Will Fleming is, long story short, he's the first Olympic weightlifting coach I ever had. And not only was, and because he was so good at being a coach, he was extremely influential in my understanding of the sport. And it was actually at his gym a long time ago. I need to go back in my own Wayback Machine of when I lifted there. I took off maybe about 2 years or so of CrossFit and only focused on Olympic weightlifting. And I believe that this was probably about 10 years ago. So like around 2010, 2011 or so. And I only focused on Olympic weightlifting because I was just like in love with these movements and how complex they were and the complexity of it. But anyway, it was at his gym when I started to really understand how valuable coaching cues are. He, and especially this one, whole foot, whole time. I remember the first time he ever told me down like a rock, up like a rocket, when we're talking about the push jerk or the dip and drive. And it was at that moment when I was like, whoa, I want to somehow, some way, create a book, a comprehensive book that includes all cues that someone could possibly take. And I think that's another reason why Whiteboard Daily is the way it is because I want to create this comprehensive list that people, that coaches can use to communicate movement. So anyway, Will is just, and he's still a phenomenal coach right now. That's what he does, full-time Olympic weightlifting coach. He and I are good friends. We bounce ideas off each other all the time. I'm very honored to know him and call him not only a coach, but also a friend.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting to see your journey over time. And, you know, something funny that happened this past weekend, the CrossFit Games, and I was thinking back to our conversation about your 2K row. What did you think about those 1K row times from the Games athletes?
Oh, yeah, massive. And I'll be honest, like at one point I was like, man, could I have beaten that? You know, because I, again, same thing with Olympic weightlifting. Like I took off maybe about 2 years or so from doing CrossFit to only doing indoor rowing. And when, and as anybody knows, when you do specific training coming out of CrossFit, those numbers in that sport will spike. You'll get much better performance, obviously, but you're no longer like this jack of all trades. Your GPP might go down a little bit, but you get really good at that one sport. And I was trying to recall like my 1K splits, and I had some pretty fast times. I'm not sure if I could have like, you know, competed with these big dogs there, but it was really impressive to see those numbers and the work capacity that translates across all levels and all modalities. It's really, that's another reason why I'm sure you do too. Like we just love CrossFit. It's just a fun sport.
Yeah, you know, I coached for the first time in a long time last night. And there was a few new athletes and they were like, oh, is this going to get easier? And I was like, no, it's going to get harder. It's actually going to get much harder. And, you know, you explain to them, yeah, you know, right now you're dealing with the complexity of understanding the movements and just starting to learn, you know, different abbreviations and different things about CrossFit. But once you dive in and once you really understand it, it's like, man, there's so much to get better at. And that's what's great. It's just, it's never ending. And yeah. You know, firsthand witnessing the CrossFit Games this past weekend, or the, you know, this portion of the CrossFit Games was just really awesome to see. I mean, and what these athletes are doing, it's amazing how they're getting better and better every year. It would be hard to bet against Matt and Tia going into the final portion of the games, but I you know, without risking offending some of the Games athletes, who would you pick right now?
Who's that big boy who did like, was the 490 front squat, CrossFit Thor?
Did he make it to the top five though?
Oh, no, he didn't. Actually, I'll tell you who I like actually. And these are names that I'm sure, popular names, but still I like watching these athletes because I've kind of watched them for a while. And Noah Olson, I remember when he first kind of came on the scene as this kid, he's kind of like a good looking kid down in Miami and always super enthusiastic, always super happy. Noah Olson was just so fun to watch when he first came on. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But, and some athletes come and go, but he's been one that has just stayed on the radar the entire time. And if you just look at his transformation, not just with his body, but just with his numbers, he's extremely impressive. I really like watching him. And then also Brooke Wells, I seeing her rise in the sport has just been incredible as well, because so many of these athletes that pop on the scene, you're like, okay, why are they popular? Are they popular because they're good looking, or are they popular because they have a strong social media following, or are people noticing them now because, you know, they have one good PR? And the thing is that with the athletes that I just mentioned, both are not just phenomenal athletes, but also just really kind, good people, at least from my perspective. And I think that that carries a long way when it comes to being an athlete, a high level athlete in any kind of sport. So I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think it's interesting that there are those athletes, like you're mentioning, the Noahs, the Brooks, of course, the Frasers and the Tias, that are consistently performing well. And then every year there's a handful of people that kind of pop on the scene, yeah. And whether or not they're just so specific in their training, like Thor, you know, 490 front squat. When someone, yeah. If you tell me someone's going to squat 490, you know, my next question is, okay, but what's their time on that Naughty Nancy, or what's their time on, you know, yeah. the Annie workout? But these yeah. other people, just the consistency across all domains, all movements, yeah. et cetera, it's really just impressive. And I think what we forget about the sport is it's still in its infancy. Like yeah. we still have so much left to be seen, and who knows, you know, now with new ownership of CrossFit, and obviously the pandemic impacted it, but who knows what the sport might look like in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years. So it's just impressive. You know, watching, I judged Jacob Heppner for the entire weekend, who I believe wound up yeah. finishing in 12th place. And it was just amazing to watch someone just perform mm-hmm. over and over mm-hmm. and over again, and just a normal dude, like, that trains hard, eats right. I mean, he was crushing some peanut butter and jelly and cookies all weekend, but, you know, typically I think he eats pretty well. And it's just so impressive to see these guys. And, you know, I tested a few of the workouts yeah. at the women's weight, mind you, and I came in last place. So
sure,
you know, it's yeah. just really awesome to see. So let's dig back into this whole foot, whole time again. With this post, you're primarily referring to the Olympic lift, but I would say this is a cue that should be used basically on any movement you're standing.
Yeah, that's why I like the versatility of this cue. Is not only does this apply to being on a platform with your snatch and your clean, but also so much, it's just like squatting, deadlifting. There's so many times when, and the reason why I like this cue, this is the main reason, is because it, so many times it's the translation of having a stable platform is lost when coaches say, stay on your heels. And they say, stay on your heels, because a lot of times athletes will come up on their toes when they're squatting or moving through a certain range of motion. And so it's so quick for athletes, for coaches to say, stay on your heels, stay on your heels. Well, if you're just staying on your heels, you're still missing a big part of that tripod that we're talking about. And I encourage anyone, as they're listening to this, maybe they're at their stand-up desk in their office, or they're walking around in the grocery store or whatever, wherever you're listening to this podcast, go ahead and stand up and just feel your feet. I'm barefoot right now. I try to be as barefoot as much as I possibly can, just because I find so much benefit of it in it. But what I want you to do is kind of allow your center of gravity to go in a circle, you know, right, clockwise, counterclockwise, whatever you like to do, and you'll feel that tripod that we're talking about. And you cannot be completely stable on your feet unless you have that tripod. You can lean over to one side and you'll feel the tripod lean off to one side. You can lean off to the other, or forward or back. And I really like the analogy of this three-point contact throughout your foot. And not just your heel. So, and this also kind of alludes to another coaching cue that I like to do with athletes, especially when they are squatting, is for to have them wiggle their toes. And you'll find out really quickly that if an athlete is able to wiggle their toes, they have no choice but to be on that tripod, because you have to have a stable platform in order to pick your toes up off the ground, because the 2 points of the tripod are right behind the toes. So I'm not, have you used this cue before with your athletes? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I absolutely have. I don't know that I've ever said the words, you know, whole foot, whole time,
yeah.
But I definitely talk about it. And I think it's important that we address the fact that, you know, whether it's at your level one or whether it's a newer coach, we say things like you said, weight in the heels or wiggle your toes. And the assumption is, oh, put all of my weight back there.
Right.
No, that's a cue to help put a majority of your weight back there, because most people tend to be, you know, what I would say is toesy or have more weight forward. And if I had to choose one, I'd say I'd rather you have your weight more in your heels, but ideally, like this cue, it has to be evenly distributed. And we do say that at the level one, like, we want you to be weight in the heels, but don't take that as 90% or, you know, 100% of your weight in your heels. I'd say it's probably 50% in the heels and then maybe something like 25 in each of the other positions, you know, your big toe, your little toe. I have a hard time explaining this, but this is how I envision it when I do it. And a good example would just be on a standard squat. You know, I unwrap the bar, take a step back, and I plant my feet. And I think almost like a hawk grabbing the ground.
Yeah.
Almost like I'm curling my foot to try to grab the ground. And that, like you said, you know, keeps me completely balanced. And from there, you know, then I can initiate my squat. But I really try to think about that position of planting that whole foot down.
So I'm kind of coming up with a new, like, should we say like feet are talons?
Ooh, we got a new, I'm going to write that down, Carl. Feet are talons.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a hawk foot and we'll have a standard foot.
Yeah. Because people say, I've heard, you know, grip the ground. But
yeah,
man,
exactly.
It's kind of cool to think of like your feet as like talons. Was it Napoleon Dynamite? You talked about talons, maybe.
Yeah, I'm envisioning that. We're gonna have to Google that GIF or whatever that is there.
Yeah.
So talons. You know, that's a big misconception that I think people need to understand. It's not all of your weight in your heels. It's typically, hey, your athletes are squatting with their weight shifted forward. So by saying wiggle your toes, it's just helping to redistribute that weight back. The other place that I see this go wrong is with the knees out.
Yeah.
So when we coach the level one and we're coaching the air squat, we encourage our athletes to push their knees out. And then inevitably, someone will push the majority of their weight to the outsides of the foot and not have any weight on the inside.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you told me to push your knees out. And I'll say, yes, I did, but I never told you to come off the inside of your foot.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another reason, yet another reason why I like this cue, is because not only are we talking about forward and backward as far as weight distribution, we're also talking about laterally here, right? About, are we having our knees come in? And if our knees are going to be coming in on a squat or a deadlift or whatever, that means that outside leg of the tripod, that outside point of the tripod, is going to be coming off the ground. And the same thing speaking too, if you're going way too far out, and sometimes I'll do this, I'll come way too far out with my knees, and then sure enough, that inside right behind the big toe, that pops up. So it gives us a really good bearing as to be like, what is stable throughout the foot. I've talked about him before, but Dr. Aaron Horsig with Squat University, who he's just an awesome dude. And the way that he communicates things, I just really connect with. And he said that most people don't realize how poor their foot stability is because they never get out of their shoes for basic movements. And his analogy is this. He says, your feet are like a base of the house of a car. Your feet are like the base to a house of cards. They set the foundation for stability for your entire body. And I think obviously there's so much truth. The only thing that's connecting you to the ground is intact. So if you can understand how your feet should feel and how this tripod position should feel, then you're going to be in a good position for the rest of the way through the movement.
Would you recommend people train barefoot?
Yes, I would. But there are hygiene restrictions with that, especially when you're in a pug place. I train in my garage gym as much as I can. If I'm Olympic lifting, I will definitely go with my Olympic lifting shoes. But if I'm squatting or if I'm pressing, or a lot of times if I'm doing kettlebells, I'll be barefoot. Obviously, we know that, you know, when you get hot, you sweat. And that's one thing. It's like when you're sweaty, you're going to get sweaty footmarks all over the ground. And you can't have that at any public place. I don't even like to get too much sweat around my garage gym because that means I'm going to have to be cleaning it up. But yeah, I try to train barefoot as much as possible. And I feel like my body's definitely benefited from it. No question.
Yeah, I think it's great. Obviously, like you mentioned, you have the hygiene aspect and then also just safety, right? We don't want to see someone drop a weight. You ever unload a barbell, forget you have a 2.5 on it out of a squat rack, and that 2.5 just falls 5 feet to your big toe?
You feel like a sniper just took you out. Yeah.
One of my favorite memories, you know, Brian Contosh, Tosh, he goes by.
Oh yeah, of course. Yes.
I mean, one of the ultimate badasses on this planet. And he and I in 2008 did our level 2 together in Santa Cruz. Cool. And it was the first time the workout Nate had come up on CrossFit.com. So during our lunch break, he and I stuck around. I think Chris Spieler was there, you know, no need to name drop, but I'm just throwing out some, you know, big names. And we were like, all right, we're going to do Nate. And it, you know, first time we've ever seen it, 2 muscle ups, 4 handstand pushups, 8 kettlebell swings at 70 pounds. And Tosh looks at me, he's like, take your shoes off. And I was like, who is this crazy person? But I'm definitely taking my shoes off because I'm afraid right now. And he was like, you want to feel the ground underneath your feet. And I was like, yes, sir. Yes, I do. But I remember that. And I was like, oh man, after that, especially like you mentioned for the kettlebell swings, but you know, going back to the cue, like you mentioned, if someone's listening and they want to understand this better, your shoes, you know, they have, even if you're wearing a really, you know, low lift or flat shoe, it's hard to feel perfectly your feet on the ground. But if you take your shoes off, even if you kept your socks on, you can really feel the difference and feel that kind of talon, like we were talking about, of grabbing the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. So many times, and again, we've talked about this before, where athletes become reliant on gear, and whether it's lifters or nanos or straps or wraps or grips or whatever. And again, when you become reliant on something else, ultimately that makes you a weaker individual. We don't want weakness, especially when we're training for a general physical preparedness program. We want to be able to be ready for anything whenever. And you are, if you're picking up your kid at the jungle gym, you're not going to have time to put on your lifters or whatever. And so just the way that we can get around that is by training with as little gear as possible. Hey, don't get me wrong though. Like if your hands are chopped up and you need some grips, wear your grips. If you're going for a one rep max or whatever, hey, wear your gear. That's all good. I'm talking about like every single day. It's funny, like the people who, I know you've seen it too. Like if you start off your workout of the day, you start off class with like a, like doing some Olympic lifting. But prior to that, you take the class through the warm-up, and then the warm-up might involve running. Well, you've got half the class that has to go change their shoes to their running shoes and back into their Olympic lifting shoes and back. And it's just like, hey, don't become so reliant on your gear. Trust yourself, you know, and you'll be amazed with how much your body can actually adapt.
Yeah, it was about maybe even longer, maybe about 5 years ago that I completely stopped wearing gear. I'm talking everything. I won't even throw lifters on anymore. Yeah, and like you're saying, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, especially if you're doing it to prevent injury or because you are injured.
Yeah.
And there's a time and a place, but I found I was becoming reliant on it. Like I was the guy that's like, oh, we're, you know, we're doing a snatch. I got to throw on my shoes. We're running. I got to throw these on. And B, it was allowing me to move poorly. That was really the bigger takeaway. Like my squat has improved tremendously over the years, because I have to force myself to keep my weight shifted back and to keep it flat footed. I have to, you know, make sure that, you know, without a lift in my shoe, I can still do everything properly. I might throw a belt on twice a year if I really want to go for a PR, but even that, I stopped wearing wrist straps. And again, I don't think if you're listening to this episode, you need to burn your equipment in a, you know, a trash can, but I think you need to question why you're wearing it and if you're wearing it as a crutch or if you truly need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. Let's take it back to the basics. And again, whole foot, whole time. So yeah, I hope people see the benefit from this. And also the versatility with this cue. It's not just for Olympic weightlifting, as Will has provided in the caption. It also applies to so many other movements, especially in CrossFit.
Well, you know, like we talked about in CrossFit, universal motor recruitment pattern. These movements all look the same. Functional movements look similar. So whether you're cleaning, snatching, squatting, deadlifting, you know, or about to do a box jump, right? Whole foot, whole time is going to be something that sets you up for success. Is there any place in the sport of CrossFit where you think this cue doesn't apply?
I was kind of thinking about different ones. There are running. I don't think that you could really say that this with running, because you do want kind of like that midfoot strike, especially if you're talking about pose running. And also, I was thinking about rowing, and one of the controversial cues that I posted was about having your heel, especially throughout the catch, having your heel. A foot stretcher. This is the last time people were arguing on either side, but you could say this, depending on which school or which train of thought you come from, you could say whole foot, whole time, even through rowing, when you're driving through, you're on the drive phase of the stroke.
Well, as someone who's experienced in rowing, what would you say?
You know what? It's really kind of odd. I do feel like driving whole foot, whole made me better. But I also felt like I did come up off of my heel quite often too. I don't want to say it doesn't really matter, because I'm sure it does matter, but I don't know. I'm going to avoid the answer on this one. I can see it going both ways.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as a proficient rower as you are, but I would imagine anytime you want to maximize your potential power output, yeah, it would make sense to drive flat footed. You mean, the more pressure you can drive through the foot, the more you can transfer through your hips. As we know, you know, hip extension is the key to generating power. No different than a clean, your row, you want to generate as much power as you can through the middle.
Yeah.
So I think it would make sense. I think it was Angie, is her name Angie Hart? One of the rowing instructors from Concept 2 used to say you should be able to keep a dollar bill under your toes.
Yep. Yeah, that's the same cue that we're talking about here. Yep.
Right. So, which would imply flat-footed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's so funny, because I think even like dark horse rowing with Shane Farmer, he's one of the ones that is a big advocate for keeping your heel down through the catch. But at the same time too, but if you go to watch the elite competitors at the Crash Bees, the World Indoor Rowing Championships held in Boston every single year, you'll see plenty of heels being lifted. So I don't feel like, who am I to say as one is right? I trust me, I've spent countless hours on the erg, but I still don't feel like I can say an affirmative yes or no on that. So.
And I think, like most things in CrossFit, there doesn't have to be a black and white. I'd throw a couple other movements out there. Obviously, double unders, you're going to be on your toes. But yeah, I think the majority of these movements, whole foot, whole time, is really what's going to elicit that posterior chain engagement. As we know, posterior chain engagement is where you're going to get your power from. Mm-hmm. I always refer to the front side of my body as my show muscles and the back side as my go muscles.
Yeah, I need to draw that one up. Show muscles and go muscles.
Yeah, you can use my body if you want for that. So, well, I love this cue, and again, like all good cues, short, specific, and actionable. get your athletes to understand keeping their feet flat. And I don't think, you know, something to consider, maybe not during this pandemic time, but have your athletes take their shoes off for a minute in the beginning of class, or, you know, at some point in class, and just feel it out. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with sock feet too. Like, people really don't care about that. And the benefit from them actually feeling that is going to go a long run. We always talk about, yes, there's so many adaptations that we experience in CrossFit, especially mentally, psychologically, obviously through body composition. But also, you are able to increase your, not just your personal awareness, but your body awareness. And being able to understand how your body moves and how you feel throughout movement is so crucial, especially when you start introducing load. So think about the benefits, not just from biomechanically speaking, but also having your mind in tune to the proprioception and your muscle movement.
Yeah, you know, we've spoken about this in the past, but I mean, this is what grandma needs, right? Grandma doesn't necessarily need to pull 315 off the ground, but if grandma understands where her body is in space, and if she trips or if she's about to fall and she can control that fall, or, you know, get up a little bit easier or faster, that's what's going to potentially save someone's life.
Yep, absolutely.
Whole foot, whole time. I love it, Carl. Anything else you want to add to this awesome drawing and awesome cue?
No. I think that we dug deep into this one, and I'm going to definitely probably draw this one up again in the future. And I look forward to seeing the response in the future as well. It's always great to talk just a little bit further and get into an explanation a little bit deeper with you each time. So yeah, man, I think we're good to go.
Yeah, I love it. And then, of course, for the listeners, if they want to, you can check out Whiteboard Daily on Patreon. It's patreon.com/whiteboarddaily. Depending on when you're listening to this, you can get a free couple days to kick it off. See what you think. Look around. Let us know if you have any feedback. It's new for us. Our goal is to make it better and no different than when Carl founded Whiteboard Daily. We're just trying to give back to this amazing community. So please provide us any feedback on there. And Carl, you want to take us out?
Absolutely. Hey, Jason, I want to thank you again for sitting down and talk with me. I want to thank you listeners for tuning in. And our goal is that you find value in what we're talking about. And hopefully you can apply the concepts that we're discussing into your own coaching and with your own athletes. And ultimately it makes you a better coach. So thank you so much for the response that we've gotten so far, not just from the podcast, but also through Patreon. We are excited to provide you with quality coaching content. It's our passion. That's why we're here. And I just want, again, to remind everyone, a high tide lifts all boats. So together, let's keep on rising those tides. Thanks again, Jason. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks again for listening to today's episode of Whiteboard Weekly. On behalf of Carl and myself, Jason Ackerman, we really appreciate the download. We really appreciate you sharing our episodes with friends, families, your box owner, your buddies at the gym, anyone that's willing to listen to us talk about all things CrossFit, all things coaching, and all things coaches development. We do this because we have an absolute love and passion for it, and we hope that you can tell that through our talking and through each episode. If you haven't already, please feel free to leave us a review on any podcast platform. It goes a long way in helping us spread the word. Once again, thanks again for listening.